Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And who's in studio with me?
Bob, it's Doug McBurney.
Hey,
glad
Doug,
to join you again.
Good to see you.
Well, it's just great to be here, Bob.
Things are going great. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of comment about Ann Coulter on Friday. She was on the air.
Ann Coulter, Coulter the Bolter.
Coulter the Bolter.
Yes.
She had a go.
She had to go to dinner with the early bird, apparently, with her mom.
Early bird dinner?
Yeah, I think it was.
With her mom. And, you know, I wouldn't deny Ann Coulter a dinner ever in my life. But she could have answered one question. Anyway, she hung up because in her book, half a dozen times she talks about Mitt Romney, mentions him.
Yeah.
And one time she says, the media is spreading false rumors about Mitt Romney. So I said, Ann, how about when you wrote that he governed as a pro-lifer?
Oops.
Yeah. I mean, he's a hardcore child-killing pro-abort. He authorizes funding for surgical elective abortions. And so that needs to be corrected. And she did not want to.
I believe she implied that you were somehow obsessed with Mitt Romney.
Yeah, she's the one who mentioned him six times. She endorsed him for president.
I think she did.
She endorsed him for president. She told all conservatives they should endorse Mitt Romney for president because he governed as a pro-lifer, which is a lie. I mean, it's just flat-out false.
Well, Bob, you've planted a seed.
Let's
see what happens in the next presidential election cycle.
Well,
maybe she will change her tune.
I hope so, because American Right to Life will be so ready to blast any Christian or quasi-Christian leader, pro-lifer, who would dare support this child-killing Mitt Romney.
Amen.
I mean, we will blast
and
him.
Keep in mind that the personhood movement will be 3 years more advanced at that point.
That's,
we will be a force that she will not be able to ignore or call kooks or whatever her...
Whatever she might want to say.
Say and, that we're obsessive.
And you know, I got personhood news here. There's personhood actions all over the country by legislatures, by pro-life groups getting personhood ballot initiatives approved for signatures. It's so exciting. So this Ann Coulter hang-up interview...
Yeah. Which, by the way, is her final interview, right, on Bob Inyart Live.
Oh, that's true.
I believe she's been officially...
Well,
we're not going to call her.
No, our producer was upset at the way, you know, she was rude to the audience.
She was.
She could take any question from Matt Lauer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're liberals. They're easy to field. They're like softballs when a liberal challenges you. She can't take a question from a Christian pro-lifer. Why did you say Mitt Romney governed like a pro-lifer when he authorized funding for surgical elective abortions? And that requires a correction. And she couldn't take it. She wouldn't take it. She hung up. So now there's a website, AnnCoulterApology.com.
Oh, yeah. I went there over the weekend.
Yeah. It's not fancy, but it has the case, and it'll remain online, I've been told, until Ann Coulter apologizes. Or corrects the record, at least corrects the record. So when I wrote that he governed as a pro-lifer, I took that soundbite off his campaign website. In reality, he did all these very aggressively pro-abortion things in the recent past.
And I repent. I was in a hurry to make a deadline. I just copied and pasted, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Now, does she?
No, she doesn't. What?
Well, the question was, does she portray herself as a Christian?
She does.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, she
does.
I was
not aware of that.
And that comes with an obligation to be true to God and true to the innocent, to the truth.
Yeah. Well, then there is hope that she will repent.
There is hope.
There is hope. Now, if she was just a secular conservative...
And that's it.
I would give up hope on her.
Give up hope.
But if she is a Christian, then there is hope that she will repent.
You know, there are some people who think that the Republican Party might actually not be completely lost.
Really?
I met one of those people about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand it, but, you know, maybe they're right.
Did you bring him back to his senses?
No, I was just observing.
Okay.
It was like seeing a natural phenomenon.
So, you
know, here's a pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, godless, anti-creation party that people think it's like having a house of ill repute and trying to introduce prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need prayer in this house of ill repute. Let's start every morning with prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you got to cut your losses.
Yeah.
At some Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, we going to reform them? Are they going to preach the gospel?
Wow.
Do you think?
I think there would have to be a significant change in the administration. I think the buildings could still stand.
The buildings could stand. Everything else would have to be flushed.
Everything else would have to go.
It would have to go. Oh. So,
well,
okay.
Bob, I want to just briefly touch on the telethon.
The telethon.
It's been going fabulously well,
thanks to the audience.
And we had, last week, we had a $600 matching fund that was given on the
air.
We announced it briefly. It was matched so quickly that by the next day, we had moved on and we were raising money. We never let people know it was matched.
So,
the $600 fund from a listener in Colorado, praise the Lord, it was matched.
So it was matched. So the $2,000 that came in afterward matching, we have to give it all back.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding. No, we let people know. When they called in,
yeah,
they said, are matching funds available? We said yes. And Doug, we are doing so well with the telethon.
I think we've surpassed the mark that
we
had made.
The goal.
We had set, I don't like to call it a goal. We had set a mark at $20,000.
And so then there was a, I don't know if we call it a mutiny, a virtual mutiny, mutiny on the cane.
There was just a disagreement.
Mutiny on the bounty.
A disagreement over policy.
So some of the staff at Bob and Yurt Live, led by their mutineer, Doug McBurney, got in touch with the TV station that first put Bob and Yurt Live on TV.
That's right.
And started fantasizing about the program coming back on the air. It's a late night program, Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
You know, when the liberals are, some of them are back home from the bars.
Yes.
Some are starting to sober up.
Yeah.
Later, you know, Friday, Saturday night. And an air, bring back an air some of the classic Bob and Yurt Live TV shows.
Yeah.
And some of the real all-time greats like Focus on the Strategy.
Yeah.
And Terry's Call and Megan's Call and Amy's Call and
God in the Death Penalty.
God in the Death Penalty.
Some tremendous, the stuff that hit me in the face back in about 1994, five-ish, mm-hmm, somewhere back there,
mm-hmm,
and throughout the television broadcast.
So you guys had this mutiny. In fact, one day there was a meeting going on.
Yes.
I said, what are you guys talking about? Somebody said TV. I said, out, all of you, out of the studio.
And that was supposed to be a secret meeting, but
out.
Bob came out.
Anyway, you guys went ahead and talked to the management at Channel 53.
Right.
And you actually struck a deal, and the goal is to get the show when, what, how?
On the air. The very first broadcast will be May 1st.
Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, at midnight.
At midnight to 1 hour, just like the old show.
Right.
We were on in 80 cities, 5 nights a week around the country. And so bring back the BEL televised classics Friday and Saturday nights on this 5 million watt, they're now high definition.
A digital, the
Channel
whole
53.
Thing. Yeah.
The whole thing.
We would hit Denver, Fort Collins, Greeley, the northern metro area.
Northern metro
just,
area.
Yeah, phenomenal.
And, of course, on cable.
On cable, yeah.
Broadcast high def on cable and on Dish TV.
Right.
In the northern Colorado area.
Yeah, Denver and northern
Denver
Metro.
Yeah. So Dish TV, cable subscribers, Comcast, over the air, high def, the whole thing for 1 year.
Right. And a deal was struck.
A deal was struck.
Yes.
And we have to fund it?
It is going to require a funding effort on our part. And fortunately, we still have 7 days left in the telethon. No, not
we
seven.
We have to the end of the month.
We
five
have till
days.
The end of the month.
We picked February.
Right.
Because it's a short month.
Right. And Bob hates telethons.
I hate telethons.
So it's a short month. But we've got several days in which to raise another $10,000 or more. $10,000 or more in the next 5 days is going to be our goal, mm-hmm, because it will happen. I've been sitting here listening to, as you guys transcribe these old shows off tape onto DVD.
Yeah.
And it's just phenomenal. It's as if the show was recorded the night before.
It is funny,
it really,
right?
Is.
What has changed? Nothing has changed in what we teach.
No. Nope.
It comes out of God's Word, the Bible. So it's the same.
Yep. Your it's viewpoint the is the same.
And, you know, there are ministries. I don't want to name some of them right now. I'll name them in 10 minutes.
Yeah,
now.
We'll name them in
but
a little bit.
You know, they teach one thing about homosexuality 1 year, and the next year a different thing, and a year later a different thing, and they're so confused because Christian leaders and ministries have become moral relativists, secular humanists. They don't know what to think about homosexuality. And the more society embraces it and promotes it, the more our Christian leaders are legitimizing homosexuality of all things.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
And when you listen to the radio broadcast now, and you listen to the television broadcast from back then,
yeah,
it's borderline prophetic, okay? It's not like it took a genius to see what was happening,
no,
but
no.
A sack of potatoes
knew what was coming.
A sack of potatoes would have passed for a prophet in this case.
Yeah.
But you were the one out there
shouting
from the rooftop,
so obvious.
Warning the conservatives.
So obvious.
And only the names have changed. It's like a song. Only the names have changed.
Oh,
I forgot to give the phone number. 1-800-8-NYART. You know what's great about the old shows, Bob?
What?
The phone number is the same.
So when we do air a classic BEL TV
and that phone
show,
number comes up, 1-800-8-NYART, which is 1-800-836-9278. If you wanted to call in for the telethon, we have another $500 matching a gift.
We do.
It is out of Texas. So call in now. Because we want you to be a part of our success.
So now this is going to go toward putting the BEL television show back on TV, where it all started in Denver, Colorado, on the same station, Channel 53, a 5 million watt TV station.
Yeah.
Wow.
So call us now, because I know you're out there. We've tried to get in touch with as many of you as we can, but there are a number of people we haven't gotten in touch with. And you want to call now because you want to support this broadcast.
Wow.
You want to put Bob Enyart Live back on television.
Wow.
1-800-836-9278. Call now.
All right.
Or they could call and be on the show, right?
If they call the same number.
If they had something.
To call into the radio program the telethon. Okay. So, Doug, this is exciting. And I am so thankful to our audience for coming through like they have for 18 years.
Yeah.
18 years. 5 days a week on the air. Thank you, all of you.
Yes, thank you.
God bless you guys.
Yeah, amen.
Okay,
God
bless him. So Doug, the hardening of the atheist. The atheists are going insane. But what you wanted to talk about some news stories?
Well, I've got.
And I got Obama making a Microsoft co-founder $1 billion richer. Talk about the rich getting richer.
A Microsoft co-founder?
Yeah. I used to work for Microsoft. Paul Allen.
Right.
Is now about to be $1 billion. He's a co-founder with Bill Gates.
From what I understand, those guys they're doing all right.
The stimulus package
got
Paul Allen all excited.
I imagine it did.
Yeah.
It made him $1 billion.
$1 billion more in his pocket.
Now, in his pocket, or it went to Microsoft?
No, in
or
his
went
pocket,
to his company?
Personally in his pocket, $787 billion.
Now,
$1 billion because Obama put in a tax loophole for the wealthy in the stimulus package. Now, I'm all for wealthy people paying less taxes.
I am as well.
I'm all for middle class people paying less taxes.
Yes.
And I'm all for poor people paying some taxes.
Yeah, all for that as well.
Right?
That would seem fair.
Yeah. But so generally, I'm not opposed to this, to wealthy people. He got $1 billion tax break. $1 billion tax break.
Wow.
Because now he owns, the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're having tough times. He's got to be really hurting.
But they also
he also owns
a charter cable TV company.
Oh.
That company is being forgiven $8 billion in debt. $8
billion. Wow.
And if you have a mortgage, do you have a mortgage, you and your wife?
We have a mortgage. We have three.
If the bank forgave it, so they said, okay, Doug McBurney, that $300,000 you owe, don't owe it anymore?
That would be incredible.
The way it works, that's considered income and you pay taxes.
Right.
It's the same as if you got $300,000 or if they forgave it.
Yeah.
Well, he's having $4 billion forgiven in debt for this Charter cable TV company he owns.
Okay.
So that would mean that he owes, at a 25% rate, $1 billion in tax.
Right. Okay.
Well, it's forgiven. It's erased by Barack Obama. $1 billion.
Wow.
Erased for Microsoft co-founder, multi-billionaire Paul Allen. And the liberals, it's just a crack up.
Well, now,
right?
Maybe. Now, wait a second. Maybe that money went out the door Didn't Barack form a commission today to make sure that, and maybe that money went out before that commission was formed to make sure that this money wasn't
going to... The TARPs?
Well, he has a commission, something he commissioned.
Well, he has an auto czar commission, and they all own foreign cars.
I think this is a different
to
commission.
To save the American. He has a TARP commission.
Yeah.
He says we're going to reduce the deficit.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I mean, is he delusional?
Well,
is Barack Obama delusional? He just spent almost $1 trillion.
And he's going to cut the deficit.
And now he's fighting to cut the deficit.
But I thought he was going to do that by raising taxes on the rich.
Yeah, except...
Except this particular guy.
The backdoor deal to Paul Allen and who knows how many other wealthy people. So it's mostly... I think Barack Obama is delusional.
Well, he was elected in what I can only describe as the greatest purple haze in American electoral history. It was bizarre.
A euphoria.
A euphoria. A
yeah.
People
well, he
were,
came to Denver to
just,
sign that Porculus Project,
yes,
whatever
I remember,
it was called.
Yeah.
And they had their worship service right out front of the museum.
Yeah.
All the Obama... You
worshippers.
Know,
that's a fair word.
His followers.
It's been kind of strange.
It's been strange.
It's almost like we're in a novel or something.
But
he's
a child-killing liberal, child-killing socialist liberal. And so everything that's happening is expected.
Yes. And we know his agenda. And we know that there's not really much of a way to stop a lot of what he wants to do, at least in the next 2 years. And then, of course, if the Republicans were to actually become conservative, which they might do, at least
the Republicans only act conservative when there's a Democrat in the White House.
Right. So they'll at least
when George Bush introduces a multi-billion-dollar spending program, the Republicans increase the social spending and then pass it.
Well, that's true.
At least when there's a Democrat in the White House, the Republicans try to spend less.
That's right. They try to stand in his way just because that's what they do. They're hacks.
Yeah.
They don't know any better.
Yeah.
And it's not really on principle, I don't think, anymore.
No, because when Bush does it, they support it, and they even increase the social spending.
So maybe we've got more than 2 years of this delusional haze to suffer through.
Purple haze.
But, you know, we are Americans, and we have survived worse men than Barack Obama, only in that he's relatively a novice.
Yeah.
So we've survived some pretty terrible presidents.
Yeah.
We had Jimmy
and
Carter.
Wars.
We had bad wars.
Yeah, Carter.
The Civil
I remember
War.
Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, he was bad.
Now, the country's in worse shape for him having...
Thomas Jefferson?
Thomas Jefferson.
Mind. Let's not talk about
Let's
that.
Let's not go back that far.
Some people can't comprehend
that. The number to call is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Bob, apparently, Focus on the Family is raising funds to fight homosexual marriage.
Yeah, well, homosexual same-sex benefits in Colorado.
Oh,
same-sex
benefits.
For government employees.
I see.
What, did you get that email from?
I did.
A Christian lead. Now, I don't know that we have authority to read this on the air. Could you not indicate who sent this?
Oh, sure.
All right, so this is a response.
This is a respected and known Christian leader.
To Focus on the Family.
To Focus on the Family.
And this person is upset.
He's well
because
you
Focus
tell
on
me.
The Family is saying, look, they want to give benefits to the partners of homosexuals,
right?
State employees in Colorado, help us to stop
Send
this.
Send us some money so we can stop this.
Well, yeah, help us stop this.
Yeah.
Most of these are sort of fundraisers.
Yeah.
But so you got a reply from a Christian leader to Focus?
Yeah, and he says, "Do you remember Focus when you promoted, quote, equal rights for homosexuals, unquote."
Ooh,
that was
I remember
during,
that.
Yeah,
I
that
remember
was
that.
During Colorado's 1993 Amendment 2 campaign.
That was such a tragedy. Christian leaders, James Dobson, Tom Minnery, saying equal rights for homosexuals.
I remember
legitimized
not
it.
Special rights, equal rights. That was the mantra of the conservatives.
Equal rights.
Yeah.
So think of 1,000 circumstances, and all 1,000 circumstances, homosexual coaches for the boys' wrestling team, writing kindergarten textbooks, and just on and
Cub
on and
Scout
on.
Cub Scout leader.
Yeah,
all of that.
Renting your upstairs apartment, your spare bedroom.
Non-discrimination.
Yeah.
Right?
Taking photographs at a homosexual wedding. Homosexuals kissing in the park, smooching in front of your kids. On and on. Homosexuals joining the Marines, being in a submarine. showering next to your son, who's also enlisted.
Yeah.
The whole bit.
And homosexuals getting married seems to be a logical progression.
If it's not decriminalized, if we're just going to regulate it,
yeah,
then good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, regulate pornography, regulate adultery, regulate fornication, regulate abortion, regulate homosexuality. That is secular humanism and moral relativism.
A recipe for disaster. So this Christian leader says to Focus, now you want me to complain about the very thing that you promoted? God and 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal principle said that homosexual behavior is criminal. But you couldn't honor God. Instead, you promoted equal rights.
Wow.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid. What is it? Are we opposed to homosexuality, or do we advocate equal rights and legitimize it? Of course we should oppose it, not legitimize it.
He says to Focus, when you honor God by publicly retracting your legitimization of homosexuality, then I will help you. That's awfully nice of this person to leave them room for repentance. That's the Christian thing to do.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Yeah.
He says you should view your own truth project and listen to what Del Tackett teaches, but more likely you'll continue to both promote and undermine his work, which is on their project. He says this is hypocrisy. Wow, that's like right between the eyes.
Yeah.
And I remember the first thing I did when I got to Colorado, Bob, and I was not a Christian at the time when I moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
One of the first things I did was I bought a T-shirt that had a Colorado license plate on it, and it read, I can't remember.
The state
now.
That is straight?
Yes on two.
Oh, yes on two.
Right? Would amendment that have been the two. Right one? I can't remember if I
yeah,
was.
Yeah, amendment two.
Yeah. Anyway, I bought that T-shirt because even as a relatively ignorant heathen,
yeah,
I knew that homos made me sick.
Ooh, wow,
and
that's
I knew
pretty
that if
harsh.
If I
that's
ever
pretty
owned...
harsh, Doug, but you are, it's true. What we have done is we've taken the stigma away from homosexuality. So you have your teenage daughter, and she's just part of the culture, and she's experimenting with bisexuality.
Man.
You know, she puts out for her boyfriend, then she puts out for her girlfriend. You got your son growing up, and pretty soon he brings in home his boyfriend. It is destructive. People think they're being loving to their neighbor. They are helping to destroy people who experiment and get into such perverse lifestyle.
Yeah, because, you know, even as a non-Christian in high school, homosexuality was one thing that even my worst friend, who my mom and dad hated the most, that was one thing they were not going to lead me into.
Right.
But now it's normalized. So not only
now it's normalized.
If you send your kid to the public school,
equal rights.
Yeah.
For homosexuality, and as a result, in America, about 1 million people have suffered tortured deaths.
Yeah.
Because of the acceptance of homosexuality around the world, millions and millions of people just in the last 30 years of the acceptance and promotion of homosexual behavior.
Yeah.
It's devastating. If you hated your neighbor, there's nothing more destructive you can do than to tell him, oh, I don't care if you're homosexual. That's fine with me.
Maybe it's even good.
If you hated them and you wanted to destroy him, you would say, oh, I don't have any problem with you being a homosexual.
That's right. That's what you would say.
Yeah, that's how you hate someone.
That's the definition of hate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, to think that conservatives don't seem to have much of a memory, because this is 1993. That's
1993,
a while ago, but it's not.
Equal rights for
homosexuals. It's not like ancient history.
Right.
I mean, a lot of us were alive and participated in the fight against homosexual rights.
Yeah.
And we remember. We remember what happened. That's why there's a change afoot in the conservative movement.
At Bob and Yart Live, we tried desperately, didn't help, but we tried to continue the stigma on homosexuality. As we saw that our Christian leaders were removing the stigma so that they thought they're just being nice to homosexuals.
Right.
What they didn't realize is by the Christian leaders tearing down the stigma, that millions of young people would grow up and be very possibly inclined to be led into experimenting with homosexuality.
Yeah.
And some would be lost forever. They didn't realize that. They just thought they're being nice.
Yeah.
So stigmas to destructive behavior are there for a reason.
And Bob, that's a pretty big That's a pretty big one to miss. And I would say that if you were a Christian leader in 1993 and you missed that, or let's say you were a Christian leader in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, and you missed the fact that personhood was really what we needed to work for in the pro-life movement, I think that means there needs to be a change in leadership. Because certain members of the leadership seem to have disqualified themselves.
Yeah, I think so. And it's painful. You know, when you fight a war, you don't like to have to be looking in your own foxhole to see who's shooting us in the back. But that happens.
Yeah.
And in the Bible, in God's word, you know, National Right to Life, they don't talk about God's word.
No, they don't.
No, they think they're going to win on the laws of science. Which of the laws of science mention right and wrong? I missed that one.
Which of the laws of science encourage you to love your neighbor?
Yeah, right. They think they're gonna win by the Republican Party.
Yeah. Well,
I can't even believe it. I mean, it's just so funny.
You know,
but we need to stand on the Word of God and teach people right from wrong. And so if they can't recognize that homosexuality is criminal because it destroys people, God said it's a crime. You don't have equal rights, let's say, to seduce your neighbor's wife.
Right.
Adultery was criminal for 3,500 years. Pornography, it shouldn't be legal to pay somebody to have sex and videotape it. But focus on the family. They think pornography is a free speech right.
Wow.
They think sex outside of marriage is something to be regulated. Abortion is something to be regulated. And so when you try to stand up for the God-given right to life of the unborn, they undermine you.
Well, Bob, I've met and I've talked to some young people, significantly younger than you or me, who I think are prepared for a change of leadership in the pro-life movement and in the Christian conservative movement in general. And I'm very encouraged that while we may not defeat the liberals in the short term, that we will have a fighting chance because there is going to be a change in leadership. And some of these younger people are, they know right from wrong. They're willing to stand, and they're not ashamed of the gospel.
They're learning. And you know what's so great? So many Christian leaders are standing together to expose the hypocrisy and the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, and it's about time.
And that's happening around the country, and that's thrilling to me.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, we've only got a minute left, and I don't want to dwell on the telethon because I know that it's an uncomfortable subject for some people here in the studio.
Yeah.
But we have a goal. We need to raise at least another $10,000 to put the classic Bob Enyart Live on TV here in the Denver metro area.
That's for 1 year, right?
That's for a year.
$10,000, 1 year. We shouldn't say this on the air because Bob Enyart Live used to get ratings, Nielsen ratings, startling ratings.
Yeah.
The management at Channel 53 looked at the Nielsen books from back when we were on TV. Their eyes popped out of their head.
Hadn't seen anything like that.
Nothing like that ever in the history of Christian television.
Well, that's why when they first called, my first question was, well, how much are you going to pay Bob to do the show?
That's right.
And then we negotiated from there, but it's very exciting. The shows are topical. They're gonna bring in some new people into this teaching, and it's something that you'll want to support. You can be proud if you give. If you call us at 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, and let's get Bob Enyart Live back on TV.
And Doug, the telethon is doing tremendously well.
Yeah.
Thank you for your help. And everyone in the audience in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, kgov.com.